Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. That's a choice you got to make. Don't let the devil make your choices. Don't let him make your choices, man. Let the Spirit make your choices. Praise God. You know, we're seeing so many things that are happening out there in the world right now. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's just baffling to me, you know, because, you know, every time you turn on the news, something else is happening. There's another earthquake, another this, another that. Another one gets snagged. Another one that has been in office of government is been exposed. And in this exposure, it's because more and more light is coming forth and exposing more and more hidden things of darkness. And one of the things that the Spirit put on my heart today is I began realizing what's going on. And there's such an uprising of the body of Christ. And in this, I heard the Spirit said that the church is returning. I'm thinking, what? He said, yeah, that's the return of the church. And the next event to happen is called the rapture, and that's the removal of the body of Christ from the earth, and then the wrath of God is going to hit. And the seven feasts of the Lord are special times and events that God has predestined, and only He can fulfill them. So the first four feasts have been fulfilled. The next feast is called the Feast of Trumpets, which is the removal of the body of Christ, and the wrath of God is going to come. And the wrath of God is the area because God is not only a loving God, but he's a righteous God. He's a God of judgment, and He's a God of truth. He's a justice. And so as the church, the body of Christ, is being prepared to be removed, one of the things he said to me, he says, before I can come, in other words, before Christ can return, he must first return the church to its original state of being. And I said, whoa. And just like the Hebrews, when they were in captive in Egypt, and he was removing them out of Egypt, and they were under the rule of Pharaoh, who was associated with the world, he put them in the wilderness, and we know that the whole world is in the wilderness right now, even the body of Christ. And the two events we're waiting for is the rapture and the wrath. So if you miss the rapture, you go through the wrath. And so God is, as the church is in the wilderness, the worldliness must be removed from the church because there's too much worldliness in the church. And it must return to its original state because much of the church is hanging between two worlds with compromise, materialism, complacency, laziness, covetousness, pride, self-exaltation, fame of success. And the Lord has said to me, he said, the return of the church is happening. And the shaking will continue, and that which is solid will stand because it's built on my foundation. This is where traditions are breaking. This is where yokes are being busted. This is where an area of trial and tribulation. I got a call today from a friend of mine I've known for years who's been accused of something he didn't do. And I know he didn't do it. But it's just an area of bitterness in the world that's accusing. It's just a part of vengeance. And one of the things I shared with him, I said, man, you know, you got to understand something, that God is shaking things. And if there's open doors in your life, the enemy will take advantage of it. He'll take advantage of anything you give him now. And you must shut the door. That's why the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. If you go to Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2, The return of the church. In Revelation chapter 2, I want you to understand that the letters that are written to the churches are the areas which God is requiring. There are seven letters, seven meaning complete and perfect. And the first letter that he writes to the church, he writes an expression that they've lost their first love. That's the first letter that he writes to his church. The first letter. You've lost your first love. In verse 1, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you. I have what? This against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you what? Repent. Now, this is very powerful because one of the things that the enemy tries to do is cause you to come in agreement with losing your first love. And whatever you're doing, you know, so many times people get so, they put their job first, this first, that first, whatever it is they put first. They even put themselves first. And Jesus warned, he says, listen, when you lose your first love, you lose your first call. You lose your purpose. You lose it. Why? Because now you're being straight, or you're compromising, or you're being complacent. You no longer fight for his presence. You surrender to what you feel like. The first letter to the church is to return to your first love and works and order of purpose. So many times we forget our first order of purpose. We begin to go through the things and no longer do it with the heart. We just do it. And there's that area where we can become an open door to the enemy. See, he knows what you think and he knows where you're at. And he'll put everything in your path to cause you to lose your first love. But I'm telling you, God is shaking and he's stirring. And you know, God allows the enemy to do certain things, doesn't he? Didn't he allow him to attack Job? But what happened with Job? He returned to his first love. And God doubled everything that he lost. Because he held on. Even his own wife came out and said, man, why don't you just curse God and die? He said, no. No. He made me. He's blessed me. And he has the right and authority to take or give. Even David said, I will bless you no matter what. I will bless you no matter what. I will praise you no matter what. That's what the church is coming back to. Matthew 16. You know, many times we go through trials and we come to a point where, man, I don't know if I can make this. The realization is you can't. See, the whole thing that happens is we begin to go into the flesh and try to figure it out, calculate it, and do this and do that and whatever. And oh my God, I can't make this. And that's where we've got to come to, wait a minute. I can't make it, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, God is testing now whether you're going to... See, you might have been quoting the word a lot. You might have been saying you believe it. But he's going to test us on it now. He wants to know who is your God. You or him. He wants to know who you're going to be loyal to. So in this, he's going to test us. In fact, the word says that you don't get the promise until you do the will of God. When you do the will of God is when the promise is released. So when he asks you to do something, when you do it, it gets released. But so many times we come to a point because we only half-step it. We only go halfway. We haven't gone all the way through to complete what he's asked us to do. And he holds back the promise. And then we're crying out, God, why? And it's what he's saying, why? When? He's saying, when? You do it. See, he doesn't reward disobedience. He rewards obedience. So the promise is not released until the will is fulfilled. So in this, it's just so powerful because so many times the enemy attacks us in the area where we lose sight of who we are. See, if he can cause you to come in agreement, remember when he tested Jesus, he tempted Jesus, he kept saying, if you are the Son of God, if you are this, if you are this, if you are a servant of the Lord, if you're this. But see, if you're solid on the foundation, you know who you are. If you're not solid, you're still wondering who you are. Has everybody got it? I'm not saying who you are in position. I'm saying who you are in Christ. I'm not saying whether you're a pastor or evangelist or whatever else or what your job is, whatever. I'm saying who you are in Christ in that personal arena with him. In Matthew 16:13, is everybody there? And when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist and some Elijah and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? See, you might have been playing church for a while. You might have been the biggest hallelujah in the church. You might have been the biggest clapper in the church, the highest dancer in the church. But there's a place where you're going to get to where it's you and him and nobody else. That's it. And he says, who do you say that I am? Now, you got to understand something. How you respond is whether you know him or not. So you might have read about him. You might have met him. You might have been touched by him. But there's a difference in truly walking with him. And that's what he desires. In verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, you're the eternal presence, power, and truth. You're the anointing. You're the anointed one, and his anointing you are, and without you, we're nothing. Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So he had revelation, didn't he? And I also say to you, Peter, that on this rock, in other words, he's talking about the foundation. And the rock that was struck in the Old Testament, water came out, which was representation of Christ. It was representation of the anointing. So he said, on this foundation, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. So God was going to build his church on the anointing, wasn't he? The foundation would be associated with the anointing, the presence, the power, and eternal truth of God Almighty. And I will build my church in what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So when you become disconnected from the foundation, the gates of hell begin to prevail. Do you understand? They begin to do it. They begin to penetrate. Why? Because the Bible says, make no place for the devil. So see, you can't blame anybody else while you're going through what you're doing. Hello? Yeah, but you don't understand my circumstance. Yes, but God does. You don't need to explain it to a man. God knows, doesn't he? Because what happens is when we try to explain it to somebody else, usually we try to justify and reason. But if we'll wait on the Lord to come and break our heart and become humble and stop resisting what he's asking us to do, then that area of that open heart comes, and it becomes heart to heart, where we become spirit to spirit and in oneness with him. See, the reality is God is returning the church back to the anointing. He's returning the church back to what? The anointing. Why? Because he's pulling them out of the religious state that they're in. The church must return to its original state, and the original state was the anointing. Is everybody okay? It wasn't about all of this puff up. It wasn't about all of everybody going to a conference every week. It wasn't about, no. Where were they? They were going from home to home then, weren't they? Amen. They weren't meeting in a coliseum. They weren't going to give somebody glory. They were going to give glory to Jesus. They weren't seeking out a pastor. They weren't seeking out a prophet. They weren't seeking out an evangelist. They were going to get into the presence of God, because a church was established by the anointing. Does everybody got it? God is returning the church back to the anointing. The revelation of the church built on the rock, the anointing. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Then what does he say? Now listen. This is powerful, because he's telling them, okay, now the gates of hell won't prevent, come against the anointing. And I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So, he said, man, use the keys. Use the keys. What's your problem? You don't know where your keys, did you lose the keys? They're not in your pocket. They're in the Spirit. So if you'll stay filled with the Spirit, the keys are always there. They're always there, ready. And the key to bind and loose, that means he's returning the church back to the anointing for battle. This isn't puff up or foo-foo. This isn't woe is me and all about me. This is the area where we must die to ourselves even in a greater way than we've ever done before. And get back to the anointing. Has everybody got it? You know, Jesus warned. He warned those who came before him. And he said, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord, I've prophesied in your name. I've cast out devils. I've laid hands on the sick. I've done all of these things. He said, you don't know me. You practice lawlessness. Depart from me. See, they were trying to use the anointing. They didn't go back to the anointing. They used the anointing. See, God can use anyone. It doesn't matter. His purpose is to rescue every soul available. But eventually, everybody will have to stand before him. and be accountable. No matter what. And many of the shaking is happening right now. And in the area where even ministries are being revealed. All kinds of stuff. You're finding things that are happening behind closed doors. We thought, oh my God, I never thought that person. Look at the divorce rate now in the body of Christ. It's ridiculous. You know why? Because people began to worship the gifts instead of the giver. They began to worship signs and wonders instead of the giver. They haven't gone back to the anointed one and his anointing, the Christ, who builds and establishes the foundation. See, the gifts and so forth come off of the foundation because they come off of the anointing. But there's an area where you must be solid in the foundation of Christ, and that is the anointing, the eternal presence, power, and truth. The eternal presence, power, and truth. And that's what the church is returning to. Turn to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. And verse 22. Now, please get that when God is speaking of Israel, he's speaking about the body of Christ also. Would you read it with me, please? Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. You know, one of the most dangerous things that we can do is to begin to fall away from his reverence. In other words, reverencing him, because all eyes are on you. One of the worst things that we can do is be a poor example to somebody else. That's why I always tell people, man, if you're struggling, you're doing all, you're involved, man, stay home until you break through. But don't tell nobody you know Jesus. Don't tell nobody you're a Christian. Now, in this, what he's saying, you're profaning my name. Why? Because they're claiming to be Christians now. But they're not. They are walking according to the ways of the world and not according to ways of the foundation of Christ. He said this, though. He says, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. In other words, when I am reverenced in you before people. When I am reverenced in you before people. Now watch this. For I will take you from what? Among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all of your uncleanliness, and I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. So he said, listen, much of the church has profaned his name by calling themselves Christian, but still live as the world according to the flesh. But he is gathering, isn't he? He says, and I will gather you from all nations. And that's what he's doing right now. The church is returning to its original state. It's returning to its original state. That's why there's a shaking going on. And the fight is hard right now. It's hard out there. No one said it's easy. And it's not going to get any easier. It will stay hard. But you will have times of rest. You will have times of refreshing. The Bible says, repent that you may be refreshed in the presence of God. So we repent to get in God's presence and get refreshed. But if you repent and don't worship him in his presence, you don't get refreshed. That means the flesh is running your life and not the spirit. In Ephesians 4. See, when things are happening in our lives, and everybody goes through it, amen? Somebody asked me, somebody said to me, I forgot who I was talking with. I think, anyways, they were saying, man, you know, I've been off and on sick, and I mean, all kinds of things are happening to my family, and all kinds of things are happening here and there. Man, I'm job this and job that. And I said, well, praise God. Welcome to the life on the planet. You know, the word tells us that it's going to be, our walk is going to be narrow and difficult, isn't it? That's all I can say to them is welcome to the life on the planet. Thank God we're going to another place. But in the meantime, we've got to allow, when we're going through stuff, please grab hold of this. You must allow discipline to kick in. You must allow discipline to kick in. When you're going through things, just like I was talking about this person I was talking to today, where, man, all kinds of stuff was going on. Man, you don't think all kinds of stuff happens? I'm telling you, I can write books on things that have happened. But I prefer not to, because I'd rather talk about testimonies. But they do end up in testimonies, one way or another. Because he said all things are going to work to the good to those who love the Lord and call according to his purpose, aren't they? The whole thing is too many people give up and quit before they can get through. Then they end up drowning. Or blaming everybody else. They get in the flesh and whatever. Well, it's this, it's this, it's that, and whatever. But you must allow discipline to kick in. When you're going through your trials or when you're going through our... See, too many people rely on how they feel because they use God to give them a feeling. And he's the God of truth. What we're trying to do is get back into the peace of God. And sometimes you've got to be disciplined to fight. You must be disciplined to go through till you enter the peace, which is also his rest. In Ephesians 4, in verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, I want to share a couple quick things about this, because he's saying that the body needs to become edified and unified. In other words, we must have the same beliefs. There's too many variances in beliefs, which causes division, doesn't it? Now, it should not affect you, but this is something that God is calling. Well, I don't think we should all believe the same. Well, we should. If we all have the mind of Christ, you better all believe the same. If we believe different, then there's something we're agreeing with, which is called the spirit of error. It still blows my mind about why people read the Bible and still don't see the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why do they read the Bible and still jump over anything that says demon? No, I'm not going to watch that. D-D-D-D-D-D. It's because the area of the infiltration of the enemy. And that's why God is shaking things to expose the enemy. You know how they get worms out of the ground? They put two electrodes in there. That's called the anointing. They turn that baby on and those worms come up. Yes, and you use them to go fishing. I've retired from that industry. But it's the same thing. God shakes. He uses the anointing to bring the shaking. Why? So the worm can be exposed. The demons, the powers of darkness, what you're struggling with. So their heads can get cut off. And you can repent and worship God again. You kick in discipline, even though you don't feel like it. Even though you've been abused, accused, rejected, and everything else. You got to let discipline kick in to get in the presence of God. And in that presence, you repent so you can get refreshed. You worship no matter how you feel or what you think. You don't go there, man. If you go there, the devil puts another hook in your jaw. The body must become edified, unified, same beliefs, expressing the anointing by fellowship of the Spirit, and declaring the truth of His Word. That's why he says here, he says, till all come to the unity of the faith. That's the same belief, isn't it? And the knowledge of the Son of God to the perfect man of the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. That's the anointing. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried away by every wind of doctrine or every whispering demon. By the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the what? Truth in love may grow up. See, this is where God checks you out. So you might have thought you're a little bit more mature than you thought. And I can't believe. I thought I was more mature than that. Oh, praise God. It's time to eat some humble pie. I got a freezer full of it. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. And all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes what? Growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Again, everything that you're seeing happening right now, it's because God is returning the church to its original state. Now step back and look at all what's going on. Not only just, you can look just in this country. You know why the tea parties are happening? Because the church is returning to its original state. You know why people are rising up in every area in boldness? They're fighting, aren't they? You know what they're fighting for? Freedom. Why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. They're fighting for freedom. They're not asking for any more money. But they don't want to be put in bondage anymore. It's the body of Christ that is rising up. It's the body of Christ that is establishing tea parties. It's the body of Christ that's exposing the wickedness in the governments. It's the body of Christ. You get this? Because it's returning to its original state. The anointing is pure. It's exposing. It's explosive. Dynamite. The body of Christ is returning, declaring the truth of the word, declaring Christ in the kingdom. They're declaring true salvation. They're exposing Satan's kingdoms and the demonic forces. They're being trained up to fight spiritually. Healings. They're expressing of heaven and hell and the requirements of pleasing God. All of these things are happening. It's amazing, and I've shared this before, that I mean, there's believers that still believe in evolution. Do you read the Bible? Why? Yes. Well, you don't read it all, do you? Well, I read how God blesses you. Oh, nice. So you seek Him to bless you. You don't seek Him for who He is then. Wrong. 2 Corinthians 3. I remember one time I was with a friend, and he had a very sweet spirit, and he was a compassionate man. And he'd always just say, well, pray, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And that's cool. But there was a few times when he would say certain things to that degree that something wasn't right. And I, one day I turned around and rebuked him and said, don't bless that. Do not bless that. That's evil. Why would you bless something that's evil? See, we're supposed to hate evil. We're to abhor evil. We're to hate anything to do with evil, not bless it. We're to forgive. When the word says bless your enemy, it means, you know, don't go out and buy somebody who just stole six cars a Mercedes. That's not blessing your enemy. That's an idiot. He says, bless your enemy. In other words, if they ask for food, give them food. But they have to ask for 20. Don't do that either, you know. Because you know what they're going to use it for. If you know that they're drinking and they're doping and they're asking you for something, that doesn't mean give it to them. Why? Because then you are partaking in their practice. Where people don't realize that. But I love him. He's my son. I got to help him. You're killing him. And you're partaking in his practice. Why? Because you're providing now. Is everybody okay? Oh, 2 Corinthians 3:4. Would you read it with me? For we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of our what? Selves, to think anything of being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from who? God. Who also made us sufficient as what? Ministers of the what? New covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the what? Spirit gives life. But if the ministry in verse 7 of death written and engraved on stones was glorious so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the veil, same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. Because the veil is taken away in Christ, in the what? Anointing. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the what? The Lord is the what? Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty or freedom. The Spirit is moving, and we are in the ministry of the Spirit. The body is rising up and fighting, and it's fighting for the kingdom of God, for its freedom. Again, that's why we're having tea parties and so forth. Why? Because it's fighting to go back to its original state. But remember, this is the ministry of the what? Spirit. That's why he's Lord. It's his Spirit that is now Lord. See, God is Spirit. He put on flesh and came into the natural realm. He's still the Lord. But he left his Spirit here, who he's still Lord. Now that Lord, who is known as the Christ, now lives in you. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. So the devil can no longer lord over you unless you let him. You're to lord over him. Does everybody got it? So it doesn't mean you're not going to go through stuff, because God is still your Lord. You must submit. When you're not submitting, you don't have any authority. As you submit to authority, you receive authority. So the enemy's always going to try to get you to not submit to authority, because he knows that if you can't submit to authority, you have none. So his trickery continues. He knows how to outwit us, but he does not know how to outwit the Spirit. He cannot. He cannot outwit God. You know, so many people are always so confused all the time of, oh man, well, how can God allow this to happen? Well, you know what? You got to remember something. That God created Adam and gave him authority. So everything that God is doing now is going through his image. Remember? Everything is going through his image. So if you're walking in his image, his likeness and character, authority, the Lord, the Spirit, the Christ in you is now walking, and the Spirit in you, the Lord, the Christ, hears what he needs to hear to tell it to you so you obey. And now the Word who became flesh, now your flesh has become the Word. If you're allowing lordship of the Spirit. Hello. Mark 10. Mark 10. Is everybody okay? You know, we all have that sense now and then that God is at distance from us. Do you know why he allows that to happen? Because he wants to know if you're going to, if you're worshiping the feeling or him. He wants to know whether you're going to obey truth or a feeling. Man, there's sometimes when, and he wants to know what you're going to do in that, so he tells you. Because see, when his, all of a sudden his presence will seem like it's gone. Oh my God, but remember, he lives in us. So for the temple, hello, sometimes he's just silent. And when you don't know what to do, you got to kick in discipline. And you kick in discipline, you repent and get in his presence, and you're refreshed. He wants to know what you're going to do. Not like he doesn't know what you're going to do. He wants you to know what you're going to do. In Mark 10. You know, we all get into a place, go, man, I know better than that. Well, when you know better than that, you got to let discipline kick in. Verse 10:42. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your what? Servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Too many in the church, too busy serving self, promoting pride, instead of unifying and fighting for the call. Many have come to the area where they have caused divisions and serve self, again, never seeing it through to serve others. See, he who is great is a server. A server. Not a server of self, a server of others. That's who God sees. Why? The reason why he requires it is because it keeps a person humble. But now there's an individual that can become prideful by serving. Because he always wants to have the area of, look what I've done. It's all about me. An individual that blames everybody else, it's always about them. Not willing to take responsibility. The church has strayed from the presence of God. I'm talking about the anointing. It's straight. You know, Paul the apostle and all the original church family, they didn't carry hymn books. Hello. They just sang in the Spirit. They didn't carry Bibles. The Spirit in them taught them. The Bible says the anointing will teach you. The anointing will lead you. The anointing will guide you to all truth. See, what's happened in the church is people have become dull of hearing. They've become lazy and complacent. They no longer want to make their own meals. They want somebody else to make it for them. And everybody must learn how to make their own meals. It is required that we do assemble together, because there is a time. Everyone in this room should be able to teach. Everyone in this room should be able to prophesy. Everyone in this room should be able to cast out a devil. Everyone in this room should lay hands on the sick. Everyone in this room, if the Lord of Christ is in you, then the ministry continues. It isn't about one person. It's not about one place. It's about the individual temple of God, which you are, which goes in all kinds of places, in the marketplace, all over, wherever you work, whatever you're called, whatever you're doing. I don't care if you're out there painting houses or painting cars or putting roofs on or whatever. You are still the temple of the living God. Never exchange that. Never exchange that for what you do. Never lose sight that you are the temple of the living God, and the Lord that is in you not only created you, but created what you walk on. See, this is where the enemy steps in. But I'm telling you, God is returning the church to its original state. And that's why you're seeing shaking and more shaking, and shake, and shake. You can't shake no more. Everybody okay? Whew. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. You know, I just want to personally thank all that partake and participate, not only in the fellowship, but help. Help with the computers, help with outreach, the sound system, the recording. Everybody's serving. It doesn't matter if you clean toilets. It doesn't matter about the job that's more likable. God acknowledges the service no matter what you do. No matter what. But the one he really acknowledges is the one who prays. The one who prays. Why? Because without intercession, there is nothing. Without intercession, there's nothing. So you could want to be a servant. You can make hot dogs galore. Hamburgers over glory. They can melt in your mouth and not in your hands. But not pray. And that service won't be acknowledged. Prayer is acknowledged. Prayer is acknowledged. And you know when you begin to justify skipping prayer. And so does everybody else. So service without prayer is nothing. It's like faith without works. Amen? And Acts, do we go to Acts 20? Yeah. Are you there yet? Verse 28. And the original church was a church that did what? Prayed. They all prayed. Therefore, take heed, in verse 28, to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. We see that happen a lot. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing. Most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. Paul speaks of these wolves that are shepherds in sheep clothing. I want to share that again. There are actually wolves that are shepherds in sheep's clothing. Are you listening? In other words, they're a wolf proclaiming to be a shepherd, but they're actually in sheep's clothing. You got it. And they cause division, not discerning the demonic influence that takes and not gives. They want to be served, but not willing to serve. And the church is returning to its original state to serve. In Malachi chapter 1. You know, this all starts, first of all, in the home. You know, in the original church, they were doing a lot of home church, weren't they? An original body. But now we've got to understand that it starts at home. And it starts in this house first, then in your home. So if everybody here went into somebody's home and see if it was in order or disorder, something would either be right or not right. So that depends on right where this is at. That's why God says, get your house in order. Get your house in order. Quit compromising. Get your house in order. Quit hiding and start exposing. Malachi chapter 1. In verse 11, for from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name. That's called prayer. And a pure offering, which is worship, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. And that's one of the things that God is returning. The church is returning. He's shaking so that there is more prayer. There is more worship. And you can see the worship rising up everywhere. Look at some of the music that is coming out all over the world in the body of Christ. There is more worship now going than ever before up to God. On Sundays, there's more worship than there ever has been. And it's global. And you know why? Because not only is the church returning to its original state, but listen to this. The Bible says, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving and praise. Why? Because the church is getting ready to get raptured. So the church must return to its original state so it can return home. Glory. So we're returning the church. The returning of the church for the gathering of the saints. It is the returning of the church to its original state for the gathering of the saints. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Glory. Verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has what? Reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of what? Reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, that imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In other words, as the body becomes more unified as its original state of being in the ministry of the Spirit and in humility and service, the reconciliation ministry will increase quickly. In other words, there'll be such a quick gathering. Why? Because we're returning to the anointing, aren't we? We're returning. And there's going to be a tremendous quick gathering. Tremendous. It's going to be because of the ministry of reconciliation is going to reconcile people back to God. In Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 44. Would you read it? Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. So who's going to open up the scriptures to you to understand? The anointing. That's why there's so much division in the body. We should all have the same beliefs. There shouldn't be different beliefs. If we all carry the same spirit and the same mind of Christ, we should all believe the same. Verse 46. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance, hello, and remission of sins should be preached in the name, in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endowed. They're endowed with power from on high. So you're saying two things. Repent, get washed by the blood, and get baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's what needs to get done. See, a lot of people repent and never go to part two. They're satisfied with part one. And they become carnal Christians. And in this, God is saying, listen, you got to have my spirit. You must be empowered with my spirit and yield to what he's saying to you. He will teach you. He will visit you in dreams and visions. He will show you. And this is why there's a returning of the church to its original state. In John 15. John 15. In verse 5, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. How true. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. That's why we have a wonderful saying here, learn or burn. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, my what? Words abide in you. Well, where's his words going to come from? His spirit. His logos, which is the written word, but his spirit, which is the spoken word. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you do what? That you bear much fruit, so you will be my what? Disciples. My disciples, so that you're bearing fruit. What kind of fruit you bearing? You know, rotten or good? You'll know your own fruit. You don't have to have somebody to tell you. Amen. You know what's happening. But in this, that's why it's so important, because the body of Christ is called to disciple. And that's one of the things that's much lacking. There's not enough discipleship in the body of Christ. People want a quick fix and no disciple. They can get healed at a service and then get sick again and lose it. Too many things are being lost that Christ has imparted because of nobody knows. People don't know how to fight. They don't know how to stand. And they allow the enemy into their life to steal, kill, and destroy. Discipleship. And discipleship, and the word disciple comes from discipline. That's why a disciple is disciplined. A real disciple is disciplined. So when circumstances happen, not moved. Discipline kicks in. Poof. Acts 26:16. Is everybody there? This is for you. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Man, you don't hear that spoken too many churches. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's the commission that we have. To turn people from the power of Satan to the life of Christ. In Colossians 1. That's what the original church did. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 16. Read it, please. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is above all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the what? Preeminence. That's why the church is returning to its original state, because Christ had the preeminence. In Mark 16. Mark 16. In verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will what? Cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Speaking in tongues. Powerful gift for every believer. It's amazing that only about a quarter of the body of Christ prays in the Spirit. Can you imagine if everybody believed the same? Was baptized in the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine the whole world of believers praying in the Spirit? Whoa! You know, it's amazing because people don't use that gift either, even when they've been baptized. They have the gift of tongues, which is it's essential as a believer. Why? Because you're to stir yourself up. You're to be edified. That's where revelation comes. The devil doesn't know what you're praying either. The original state of the church, everybody prayed in the Spirit. They're all baptized. Everybody in the upper room, hello, there wasn't one person that did not leave there baptized in the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues. Not one. Even Sister Mary, who birthed Jesus, was up there and got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Then his brothers and sisters and James and all the rest of them got filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody in the original state of the church was baptized in the Holy Ghost and prayed in tongues. Everybody. Why? Stirs you up, man. It mortifies your flesh. The devil does everything he can to prevent you from praying in the Spirit. Because he knows he don't know what you're praying. Either do you. Why? Because he can read your mind. He knows what you're thinking. So when you pray in the Spirit, he don't know what you're thinking no more, because either do you. But you're praying the perfect will of God. You're praying the perfect will of God. See, carnality wants to know everything. What I say. Oh, shut up. Don't you know how I feel? Oh, shut up. What about me? Oh, stick it. Stick that rag right in its mouth and shut it up. Hello. Sometimes you got to take your sock off and stick it in your own mouth. So are we okay? That's the commission. Cast out devils. Lay hands on the sick. Pray in the Spirit. That's the original church. Colossians 2. Verse 8. Would you read it with me, please? Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. According to the tradition of who? Men. You know how much this Bible is preached according to the tradition of men? It's ridiculous. You kidding? They got their sermons planned for a whole year. They can't be led by the Spirit if you got your sermons planned for the whole year. They get online and buy the sermon book. Beware lest anyone cheat you from internet sermons. According to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to the anointing, which is Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Verse 18. Let no one cheat you again of your reward. Taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why are, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed they have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. And I'm going to close in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The church is returning to its original state so the saints can be gathered for the rapture. Glory. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Chapter 5, verse 12. And we urge you, brethren, recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. But be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Be blessed.